The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We still have a caller that's holding over. Are you still there, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Well, I asked you about the Sabbath, and you so you're saying Thursday at noon to Friday at noon. Let me ask you another question. Are you a Trinitarian? I mean, is it the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to you? Are they three? Are you a Trinitarian? Do you believe in the Trinity?
Depends on how you want to label that. Do I believe that they are all equal as people are Trinitarians that I hear? Oh, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are all the same thing. That's horse manure. It very clearly, the Son says, I don't have the quote in front of me, I take my orders from the Father. And I serve the Father. He serves the Father. He can't be equal to him. He also points out that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, that's a really bad term, Holy Ghost, listens and does and serves what the only begotten Son says. They're all, yes, the only begotten Son is very, powerful. And yes, the Holy Spirit, which I don't even like the word spirit, he is sort of like in control of whether or not you get pushed this way or get pushed that way by your angel on your shoulder. And you either have a good one or you got a bad one. I'd like to tell you I know for a fact I got a good one on my shoulder, but I don't know that. Okay? But I do not believe in the Holy Trinity as all of them being equal at all. And, you can look it up. It says, the Son says, I serve the Father. And then later he says, and the Holy Spirit serves me. You can't serve somebody and be equal to them, or be bigger than them, stronger than them. Does that answer a little bit?
Yes, sir. Another quick question. I would assume most Christians think that Christ was crucified on Friday afternoon and was resurrected on Sunday. Is that... Do you have an opinion there?
Yes, because if you look at the King James, it says that he rose at, it was actually noontime, but it wasn't 12 o'clock. in those days, you had 18 hours in a day. You can actually look that up in the history books. There's no doubt about that. So, you know, where it says, and he died at about the ninth hour in your King James, and the Farfan, da-da-da-da-da, you know, three or four other old, old Bibles, it says the ninth hour. So people say, oh, well, you know, it's got to be this time. No, there are only 18 hours in a day. Now, at the same time, you can go to the, like 1775, 1780, here in the world as we know it, and you will find they switched the day beginning and ending at noon to beginning and ending at midnight. Go into the banking laws and what happened, all the lawsuits when they switched from, hey, 12 o'clock noon. Remember in the old days, hang them at noon, okay? That's when the day started. You can find out that this is a recent event of about 150 years. And there's no argument about any historian about this. So he did pass away, and he rose at what we call noon. And it tells you very clearly, he was 3 days and three nights. Now, he went down to hell and straightened out some of those guys and said, get ready, I'm coming back down here and kick your butts and do all this other stuff. I don't know what he did. But you figure, Sunday, at noon he rose, go back to Saturday, that's one day, Friday, 2 days, 3 days is Thursday at noon. That's the easiest way. It's right there in your King James. It's right there. Read it. Don't take my word for it. Get out there and measure it, and then you'll flip out. You'll absolutely, totally flip out. But then again, measuring it is something else. Did I answer?
Jerry, yes, and this is not a test. I like to listen to different viewpoints. I like to think critically. So this is not a test or anything that I'm asking. I'm just trying to educate myself.
Tell you what. I look forward to tests. I like it when people call in and they want to test me. I like that. That's what I live on. You know, so don't
okay,
think
well,
that I'm
but
being...
What I'm trying to say is, let me just skip to the final question. At the moment of death, do we immediately go to one place or the other, or do we go to sleep? Do you have an opinion there?
Well, it says exactly what happens to you exactly upon death. If you're a good guy, you go under the altar of the Father, and you repeat, how long, Father, before you avenge our souls? In other words, they get revenge. And it tells you exactly when you die, where you're going to go, and you stay there under the altar saying, how long, O Lord, before you avenge our deaths? So you're under the altar. Now, when you get out from underneath the altar, you have a chance to go two places. One, you can go to heaven. Two, you messed up or wasn't your turn, and you got to go through this whole routine one more time. So the answer is you're under the altar of the Father. And my motivation is to make it this trip to heaven and hopefully be a sign, the good angel on my dad or my mom's shoulder, and guide them to getting into heaven. That's my primary goal. Yes, I got to get in heaven to do that. But I loved my mom and my dad. I loved my grandparents. And I want to be in line to help my mom and my dad. What do you think one of the commandments says, honor your father and mother? How could it be any more wonderful than to work your butt off and do what the Father says, and then my efforts, because I did what I was told, got my mom and my dad into heaven? Now, how could I get any bigger reward than that?
It would be wonderful. And it's very very noble. As a matter of fact, I pray for my mother and father every night before I go to sleep. They're long departed, but I pray for them that they're with the Lord. But anyways, that would be wonderful, Jerry, for you to do that. And look, are we...
Well, it would be wonderful for you to do that too, sir.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I pray for them every night, like I say. Are we saved by grace alone? Or do
bullshit.
Works...
Excuse my language,
okay.
That's bullshit. You know, I'm going to be going into that next week. And let me tell you know, Mike was being very polite to me on the break, and he says, Jerry, you know, at the end of the show, you need to give me something that we could define the shows by. And I said, well, I never thought of that, because I don't know where I'm going all the time. I don't know what the next caller's question is, but I told him to label this one the nice week. Next week's going to be the diarrhea week. It's going to be, people are going to get real mad at me. I've been through this for 30 years. I know what happens because it blows everything that they're counting on out of the water. Totally. And I'm not a Christian. I know what Christians are. I was, my entire family, both sides of it, all the way back, as far back as we can check, we were Christians. I'm not a Christian. I know what the words are. I've done my homework. And I hope and pray that I am one of the little lambs that the Father wants to herd and shepherd me around with. I'm a baby lamb. That's what I, in my mind. And I want to be told and demanded. And, you know, I'd love to have the angel on my shoulder hit me with a bat every time I do something stupid. You know, make me do it right. I don't want to have to use my brain. I want to be told how to do it exactly by the Father. That's what I want. Christianity does not believe in that. Christianity has over 250 gods that you pray to. That should be enough to say, whoops, what's going on? And I fought Christianity in school and in church for 2.5 years, and I got beat for it. All I did was go to the New Testament and read something like, hey, call none father save he that's in heaven. And I said, how come you make us call the priest Father McDonald? You're making me violate this. And they beat me for it. And I didn't cry. No way. I chewed on my lip. I sucked in my cheek, and I gripped down on it. But I learned only go after them once or twice a week because the bruises were getting pretty, you know, I knew something was going to happen if they saw the bruises. So I kept my mouth shut 3 days a week.
Do you have a Catholic background?
Yes, and one part of it's very scary to me. Because my grandpa, my mom's side, was a Monsignor in the of the Jesuits. The Jesuits in the Catholic Church are the ones that overthrow countries and governments. And they are the ringleaders of the bad crap. And, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm saying that every single priest or preacher is a bad guy. But we are told, my vineyard is destroyed because of many preachers. You could say priest or pastors right there. I'm not condemning every single preacher that's out there, because it says many. It doesn't say all. But you know what? There's some of them out there that I am so sick of. They get out there, just say Jesus and you're saved. Just say Jesus and you're saved. Repeatedly, and then people jump up and start yelling and screaming and singing, oh, Jesus, Jesus. It never says just say Jesus and you get to go to heaven. That's BS. Those are Christians doing that, sir. Not me. I'm not a Christian anymore. I wasn't a Christian after I was in halfway through fourth grade. And at that time, I was able then to go to public school. And I put the book away until 1991. And then I went, oh, you idiot. You didn't take the heat. You absolute idiot. I could have people hating me since I was, you know, in fifth grade. You know, so that's okay with me.
Okay, well, Jerry, look, I've taken enough of your time. You have a wonderful voice, a distinctive voice, and I think I'm almost sure that you called in and had a discussion with on Firearms Monday with Sam Andrews about a year ago where it got kind of heated. Maybe we can act, I think I'm almost sure that you, I recognize your voice. But anyways, you have a great voice. I enjoyed listening to you tonight, enjoyed our conversation, and maybe we can talk again.
All right. Well, if RBN keeps me here, I'll probably be here.
All right. Good night, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry, we have a couple more calls here. Got Rick in Florida up first, and then Fred in Michigan. We got a break in about 4 minutes, but you got time to start.
Okay. First caller, get on it.
Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, Jerry.
Good evening.
You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Good evening. Enjoy listening to you. I have a question for you. Are you familiar with a book called The Crucible of Christianity by Arnold Toynbee?
Nope, not familiar with that.
It was interesting because he got into the history of Nazareth and of what it means when they call him the Jesus of Nazareth.
Well, at the very beginning of the
show, I was wondering if you were familiar.
At the beginning of the show, I let you know how the
That's why I called in.
Yeah, the name Jesus, and I went into it last week, you know, as Jebus. The Jebusites were actually the most evil tribe that I'm aware of, and they controlled Jerusalem. And Jebus, J-E-B-U-S, they switched one letter, J-E-S-U-S, and that means a Jebusite that lives in Jebus. Now, I've researched that in four different of the oldest Bibles around, and I know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his name...
I understand. That's why I'm interested.
Yeah, well, they had to make up a new religion.
In this book...
They had to make up a new religion. I suggest people go to the Ben-Hur, and somewhere around the 10 or 15 minutes into Ben-Hur, the commander, not the governor... commander of all the armies that were of Rome that was leaving was being replaced by the guy that gets, you know, dies at the end of the show for being dragged under a chariot. They're having a discussion, and the current commander says, well, there's this guy walking around preaching all this stuff and all the people are listening. And the new commander said, this is simple, we'll create a new religion. You may go to the Vatican sources, and you will see when they planned out each of the religions and how to take over them. And Christianity was totally important because they had to take over England and France. It tells you in the good book, and you can do the history, and his people are moved from east to west. And eventually you find out they shall be brought to the land of milk and honey. And this country was called the land of milk and honey. And so the majority of his people, being the very elect ones, I'm not talking about the other two classes. Got a break here.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. As I understand it, Rick's still holding on. Are you still there, Rick?
Yep, still here.
All right, Rick, what else is on your mind?
Well, the point of this book, The Crucible of Christianity, was that the important part of Jesus of Nazareth wasn't really the word Jesus, but it was the Nazareth, that he was from Nazareth. And it mentioned that Nazareth, the Jews there were different than the Jews in the rest of Judea than the Jews in Jerusalem or Bethlehem. They were really seen as second-class Jews because they were converts to Judaism. They weren't real Jews. And I was wondering if you had heard of anything about that.
Yes, I totally agree with you that many people, because of being deceived, not having full information, that they want to call themselves a Jew. Okay? And the Jewish people are totally and completely understood. I mean, I'm talking about the real Jewish people. They have genetic mutations. You may trace them all the way through the Bible. There are good people that are calling themselves Christians. I learned I'm not a Christian. There are good people that call themselves Jews. And they don't know that they have been deceived, okay? They've been indoctrinated. They've been trained. And that's part of the problem that's going on. Do I condemn all Jewish people? No, I certainly don't. Hitler proved, and before World War II and during World War II, he attacked and killed certain Jewish individuals, men, women, and children. Other Jewish people, he didn't mess with them. They were the bad guys that owned the banks and all the industries and everything else. They were the bad guys. But he didn't actually start with the good Jewish people. He started with the gypsies, the total con artists. And he started with them. Everybody loved that. So then he went on another group. Then he went on to the and said, I'm going to get rid of these certain Jewish people. He didn't kill all Jewish people. Go look at his bankers. Go look at his generals. He kept the bad ones. Or, you know, they had all the money, all the power. And that's one of the biggest problems that we have. How do we identify somebody that is really a good guy, but he's wearing a bad guy hat? You know how you do it is you read him and you teach him and you try to share with him. You beg him. You get down and cry on your hands and knees and tell him, you can do this. Follow the Father's law. Do these things. Put your allegiance to the Father. There's no religion to that. It's called allegiance. It's called being a servant. It's called being a slave. And when you do what he says, everything works out pretty nice. Really pretty nice. Sometimes it can be a little bit tough, but in the long run, it works out pretty nice. Rick, I've got two more callers, so if you don't mind, I'm going to try and catch up on a couple of them. Is that okay, Rick?
Thank you for your time.
Okay.
Enjoy listening to you.
All right, Rick, I appreciate it. I'm not trying to be short with you, you know, but I'm getting a little stacked up, and I got about 10 minutes to go also of stuff. Is Fred in Michigan there?
I am, Sir Gary. See here. So Thursday, sundown Thursday to sundown Friday is the true authentic Sabbath. Is that right?
No, sir. Your day begins at noon.
Noon.
What you call 12 o'clock. And, you know, I went into with other people when they changed it from, you know, noon to midnight. And that's in the 1770, 1775. The Vatican changed all that stuff. Now, they had been in the process of changing that for almost 200 years. And they had ordered the kings and princes and queens and all that kind of stuff to start doing the midnight game.
Yeah, leave it to the
anyway,
Vatican.
Yeah. Jukebox. We got some music. I think we're at the bottom of the half-hour break. You want to hold on, Fred? You can.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, and Fred, are you still there?
I am, Jerry. I want to say I'm immensely impressed with your knowledge and wisdom and the ability to convey that in a most comprehensive manner. I was raised Roman Catholic, and I can remember as an altar boy, minister of communion, it just seemed to be grossly deceptive. The rituals of the Mass, the sacrifice of the Mass, I was vociferously ostracized for not confessing with my lips that I am consuming the actual body and blood of Jesus. And I said, well, where in the Holy Scriptures am I commanded They said, well, if you don't, you're damned to hell. You'll never have eternal life, yada, yada. And then I asked them.
May I make a comment? I'm not cutting you off. I just want to make a comment. Is that okay, please?
Of course.
Yeah, and you got the body and blood, and you're having it. They're trying to make you into a cannibal. That's what they were doing to you, making you into a cannibal. Yeah, and, you know, those pieces of manure, yeah, they had me go up and take a little wafer and, you know, have a little sip of wine. And then that, I when I got older, I said, my God, they're practicing cannibalism. And
yeah.
What worse abomination, what more do you actually need to know about Christianity? Anyway, go ahead.
I was getting really bad headaches. And I told the priest, I can't do this incense crap, this incense ritual. And, you know, they always had some ridiculous kosher certified gadam response. I finally defected because they glorified in high praise for the celebrated pharmaceutic medicide, what I call the demons, medicide demons. Okay, that just totally drove me away because I tried to explain to them when they said, well, they're blessed with special knowledge, and I said, yeah. And on an annual basis, they murder 880,000 Americans with their kosher certified pharmaceutic medicide Synchem prescription poison. Anyway, there's a fella who, like me, is a defected, rehabbed Roman Catholic. Only this guy is a brilliant historian, like you, and a linguist. And I want you to check him out sometime, Jerry, on YouTube. Mikal, M-I-K, that's M as in Mike, I-K-L, Shabbat Scripture Studies. Because he presents, I discovered him 4 years ago, and I just checked tonight, he had 30 or 40 presentations, and they've scrubbed it down to two. And in the others, he totally eviscerated denominational, what I call, cuckoo kufi Christians United for Israel, denominational religion. He totally eviscerated it in several of his stellar linguistic presentations, but he seems to have nailed the authentic, valid name of the Father and Son based on what he presents as the true, authentic tetragrammaton, Y-H-U-H. The Father's name, Yahuwah. The Son's, the Messiah's name, Yahushua. So I'd like you to check that out sometime. And lastly, pursuant to Mel Gibson's The Passion, which I never actually saw, but I did hear that the dialogue was in Aramaic. And there's a fellow on YouTube, Vic Alexander. He has a presentation, Messiah's Aramaic Name, Messiah's Aramaic Name, and some really amazing music. I'd like your input, your assessment of that sometime, and I'll leave it at that, Jerry. I really, really look forward to these Thursday evenings now, man. And thank you for clarifying that I'm not a Christian either. Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, Fred, can I make a comment, please?
Yes, of course.
Well, why don't you and Rick and other people, why don't you get on the phone, get on your internet, whatever you've got to do, and call up five people and say, why don't you listen to Jerry? You know, he's an SOB or whatever you want to say. I don't give a rat's toenail. Give some other people a chance. That's part of your, if you think that there's something of value, it's your job to spread the word, sir. That's your job. It's a responsibility and a duty. And I think you've got what it takes. Anyway, we're going to move on to a gentleman from South Carolina. I got confused. I don't know if I got two Ricks in a, you know, here. But are you there from South Carolina, sir?
Yeah, Jerry, right here, South Carolina. So I have three questions for you, namely the origin of Yeshua or Jesus, and also about the Father, which you've mentioned, and also about God. So if you don't mind, I would like to just present my questions and then maybe have some feedback from you. So the...
One at a time, one question at a time, not...
Okay, so the first one was, you know, the angel told Miriam, you know, because these were, you know, Hebrew, they weren't Greeks, so her name wasn't Mary. What happened was they anglicized, you know, the translations, and so, but in the Old Testament, they'll say Miriam, you know, the sister of Moses was Miriam, but when they come to the New Testament, the same name is translated as Mary. And the angel told Miriam that you shall call him, in Greek it's Jesus, but in Hebrew it's Yeshua. And Yeshua, Yah, is part of the beginning of the word of God's name, which is Yahuwah, which your previous caller just mentioned. And then also, Shua means salvation. So, and then the angel says, he will be the savior of his people.
Okay, Rick, you've done what people do, and it makes it impossible to answer your question, okay? Because you keep throwing things out. First of all, it says very clearly, and no man knows the Father's name. No man knows it. I don't have that one in front of me, but no one knows it. However, if you go back to the book of Enoch, there's a name given for the Father, the Ancient of Time. That means he was there before the concept of time, minutes, seconds, hours, whatever you want to say. And so he was Ancient of Time. Now, his only begotten Son is also known as the Ancient of Times, T-I-M-E-S, because when he was formed, the only begotten Son, he brought in the concept of time for measurement, okay? And so when people get into, well, the Hebrews say this, and the Jews say this, I don't really care, except that's not what they said in the King James. It says, he shall be called what? What is it? What is he shall be called? It's right there in your King James.
Yeshua.
No, it's not. No, it's not. He shall be called Emmanuel. And what do? A few paragraphs later, now they name him Jesus. They didn't come up with a Christ name till about 400 or 500 A.D.
Well, there's about 60,000 manuscripts in Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew that I go by. I just go by what the Scripture says. I don't go by what the Jews say or the Hebrews say. I'm quoting you Scripture, and the angels, in the manuscript it says, the angel told Miriam that you shall call him Yeshua. That's what the manuscripts say. And then if you want to say, well, we don't know God's name because nobody knows his name, well, we can go to Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, and it says very clearly there, it says, Shema, Yisrael, Yahuwah, Elohim, Yahuwah, Echad. So in English,
yes.
That is here,
yes,
Israel.
I'm very familiar with that. Guess what? They did not convert the Bible to Hebrew or Jewish, whatever term you want to use, and they didn't start working on that till 675, 680 A.D. And let's go back to Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N, and Hebrew, H-E-B-R-E-W. And what was Hebron called prior to being named Hebron? Kirjathjearim. Kirjathjearim meant city of the father of the giants. So I don't put any credence on any of the Hebrew or Jewish stuff. That's all
The authors of the King James, where did they make their King James translation from? Was it from some other English translation?
Yes. Because the original English translation...
Okay, so you,
which was
you reject 60,000 manuscripts that have been around for, you know, 2,000, 3,000 years, and you reject those and you just stand on the King James. And that way nobody can argue with you because you just want to go
no,
by the King James.
No, I do
James.
Not stand on the King James.
In the King James.
I stand on the King James.
It clearly says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, it says Yahuwah. It doesn't say anything. It says that's what his name is, our God, and Elohim is God. So that's what it says, Elohim, our God, Yahuwah, is Echad, which means one. That he says, the Lord our God is one. And so, and then also...
And it didn't get into Hebrew, it didn't get into Jewish, until they didn't even begin it.
King James translated it from the Hebrew. There is no other language that the Old Testament was written in. It was only written in Hebrew. The New Testament is questionable. Some people think it was in Aramaic, and some people think it was in Hebrew.
Sir, you are 100% incorrect.
And I know many translations... from the New Testament, the manuscripts that are in Hebrew as well as Aramaic. So
you are 100% wrong. The Old Testament was in the Greek.
I'm telling you the facts. You can't
argue
with facts
about it. Okay, I want another caller. You're not willing to listen.
No,
Greek transcripts. I've got copies of it. I've got the entire Greek with the English right beside it of the Old Testament. So please don't tell me that.
It says Asus.
You know, I mean, you don't have the information. You're making up what you heard. You don't happen to have those Bibles. I do. And I've got the Greek right beside the English and the Colonel Thompson.
Jerry is God himself because only what he says is true. That's what you're saying.
It's a good thing. I hope you're about, I hope you're about 7 feet tall.
Let me prove to you that Jesus uses the word
goodbye,
Father.
Bye. Goodbye, Mike. Goodbye to this guy. Goodbye. Made me think I would like to, you know, meet you in the middle of a ring, though. You know, you don't listen. And when somebody has the exact evidence that you say it doesn't exist, you're full of manure. Anyway, I want to continue on some things that you can do yourself. And help yourself.
Hey Jerry, I'm gonna skip the last break here, so the last 10 minutes of the show are all yours, okay?
Okay. Anyway, with respect to eating food, Leviticus 11:9, these shall you eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever, both fins and scales, in the waters and in the rivers and in the sea, them shall you eat. Now, 1984, I had some grocery money, and I went out and I found a certain specific fishing boat with a Kevlar hull, and I loved ocean fishing. I loved catching dolphins, mahi-mahi, the bluish, green, yellow. They were a lot of fun to catch, and they tasted fabulous. And I 1991 comes, and I go, oh, my God, I'm not allowed to eat the mahi-mahi. They don't have scales. So I said, okay, well, and there were some other fish on the surface that I liked to catch, the tuna, yellowfin tuna. They were a lot of fun. Tasted great, too. Anyway, I said, well, I'm not allowed to do that. I can't do anything that catches that you catch on the surface. I'm not allowed to eat. So I went out with my boat, and I went over, and I went to where I got some snapper and stuff like that, grouper. And, you know, in a half hour, I had more fish than I knew what to do. And finally, I said, I got to get rid of that boat because I don't have any fun just, you know, bringing in 40 or 50 pounds of fish and, you know, 2 or 3 hour drive to get to the launch my boat. So I said, oh, I can't do that. And then I was from Florida, South Florida. And I've been to Georgia, Alabama, all kinds of places in the South. And if you can tell me that, I didn't like the next subject, Leviticus 11:10. And all that had not have fins and scales in the seas and the rivers and of every living thing which is in the water shall be an abomination to you. Okay, now let's see. We go to the rivers, lakes, freshwater. And you talked about a guy that really loved, I mean, there were men and women that could cook up catfish like you couldn't believe. I mean, fabulous tasting catfish and other things. And I said, well, I'm not allowed to eat them, but that's not too much of a problem because I like bass and brim. Catfish don't have any scales. Brim and bass have scales and fins. Now, I don't eat any of that stuff I'm not allowed to eat. The things that you're not allowed to eat cause health problems for you. And due to time concerns, and Mike is going to skip the five-minute break here, I've got an entire page of all kinds of things that you're not allowed to eat. You know, you might take a little bit of a hint and open up your King James and go to chapter 11 of Leviticus and read the whole dadgum thing. And then after you read it silently, read it out loud. All kinds of people, if they read it just to themselves, that's one thing. But if they read it out loud, they have a chance to get it. I don't know why that happens, but I've seen it happen dozens and dozens of times. Read it, then read it out loud. Chapter 11 of the Leviticus. And look what you can do. I mean, you're not allowed to... You know, you'd say, even these of them you may eat, the locust after his kind, the bald locust after, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper. But all other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you. That's just one little deal. You got a whole list of things that you can go out there and say, oh, I can eat that. No, I can't eat that. And guess what? Your cancer rates will go down. Your health will go up. Because you're eating stuff you're not allowed to eat. And you can do it if you want to. But if you don't want to, then guess what? You won't do it. And if you don't do it, and you don't show any allegiance to the Father in heaven and his only begotten Son, I hope you enjoy the nice heated area you're going to be in. Because you're not going to have a good time. I don't want to go down into that burning fire. But even more so, I don't want to have to come back here and do this again because I failed. Now, do I know 75% of what's in the Bible about the Father's laws? No. Do I know 40%? Yeah, probably. But that's still a bad failing grade. I'd like to have a 99.9, but I ain't got it. And if anybody actually, you know, I think I could find them pretty quick if I heard somebody that's got 90%, 80%. Those are the people that I would love to run into. Now, I like talking to people that are getting their first baby step. I like that because then they got a chance. I'm doing this because it's a responsibility and a duty. We are required to warn the wicked. Whoops! Did I call all the good guys wicked? I sure as hell did. I'm wicked. I'm wicked because I don't keep 100% of the Father's laws. Now, the people that just pee on the Father's boots, they attempt to. They're called evil. E-V-I-L. There is not a man or a woman on this planet it falls outside of those two categories, because I don't know a single individual, I would love to meet them, that know everything of the law and could show me and teach me. And the nice thing is, if I ran into somebody that knew more than me, I'd sit there and keep my mouth shut. And I'd be making notes. And they'd say, Jerry, you're messing up. You're supposed to be concentrating on what we're saying. And then they'd find another 4 or 5 things I was doing wrong. And I say, I'm sorry, I'm so stupid. I was told when I was a young child, when I asked about, have I ever been tested about my IQ? They said, yeah. And I said, well, what did I get? They said, well, you got at least 1 point more than 91. I thought that was sounding pretty good. I got a 92, that's pretty good. I didn't know that 91 was when they, if you got a 91 IQ, they put you into an insane asylum in the old days. But I still say, people say, what's your IQ? I don't know. But I've been assured it's more than one. Over 91. I'm 1 point above 91. My parents told me that, and I guess they're correct. And I'm not here to get into a fight with somebody. But you know what? When I have somebody that totally refuses to listen to history and listens to some manure and will not allow me to talk, it makes me think, I hope that guy's at least 91 if we had to get in the ring, because I'm guaranteed to win. I'm not so sure if he's 41 if I could take him. Okay? But that gets my blood boiling when somebody sits there and refuses to listen. And I would have given him the names of all the Bibles that have been translated from the Greek to the English, from the Roman Vulgate to English, and all the dates. But see, he knows more. YHWH is written on the mountains across Oklahoma and Arkansas. YHWH, not Yahoo-y and Yahshu-y and all that kind of horse manure. YHWH is on the mountains and a river. The river makes up the Y. And when you see that, you go, oops, there's no Yushi and Nusi and all that other kind of crud. It's YHWH. And it's very simple. But you have to know how and where to look, and at what elevation level to look when you're looking at the satellite pictures of the topography. And that took a while for me to find that. And, you know, it's rather insulting when somebody won't allow you to respond. I'm not apologizing. I'm saying that most callers, you know, I like most callers to call in, and I want them to express themselves, but to sit there and constantly sit there and say, oh, no, 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 no. They don't know squat. They haven't read the Vatican history books. I have. And it scared the hell out of me. And I'm not supposed to have fear. Well, I don't fear them, but they scare me for what they've done. And if the Lord blesses me, I shall have my chance at the number one Canaanite on the planet. And if I only get one of them and I get that guy, I am just going to be so tickled pink. I'd just be tickled pink. Have a great evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for your time and listening. Have a good day.
We need leaders to lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. Take America back. We must take America back.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
You can't handle the truth! You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.